How's everyone going? Good, very good. Good to see you all. Today is the beginning of a new series. Wow. Okay. Let's see what the Lord wants to do. All right, so let me just get straight into the message first, and then if there's a... This morning, I'm really sensing the Lord. Don't imagine I'm a 70-year-old woman, but imagine if I was, and I came and I said, I would like to have a baby. What would you all say? Yes, so you'd probably be thinking, oh, that's a bit strange. And what would you really, well, yes, okay, but what you would say is that, wow, that's a nice thing that you want to have a family, but you've missed your time. You've missed your moment. All of us are subject to seasons and are subject to time. The key thing that we need to understand is that let me not miss my moment. This that I'm doing here, there's going to come a time where the moment is gone. The time has come for it and it will go. And it will be a time for somebody else. So all I'm saying this morning is that don't miss your moment because of fear, because of frustration that things have not happened in time, and because of doubt. On our way off Leech Highway and then onto Carroll Avenue, there was a protest. There's a house at the corner there of the traffic lights where the federal minister for our area, or federal member, sorry, for our area, they've got their offices there. And there was a protest. There was a protest there, people complaining, refugees, saying, you know, we want more rights. We want to have the ability to send our kids to school, access to medical services, ABC. And so they started their protest day one. They wrote, it was a sign there that said one day, then 2 days, then 3 days. And I thought, wow, these guys are committed. Then 4 days. Then there was a time it started really raining. And they were camped out there. They went for more than nearly 30 days. The last count I saw must have been 35, 36. This morning on my way to church, I realized that, wow, they're gone. We desire to do things in our lives, and we desire to move forward in our lives. The question that I have for us is that, you see, they were committed to say we want our rights, or we want fair rights. Everybody wants fair rights. The issue is that, what price are you willing to pay for those rights? It's one thing to talk about you want something. It's another thing altogether to say, I am going to be whatever it is going to take for me to get whatever it is that I want. You have to pay the price. I spoke to Andrew Kubala when we were in Port Hedland, probably going back 8 years ago. And I said to him, it was over, Pastor David was cooking pizza, it was over that pizza. I said, what is it? You know, what is it that, what does it take to do what you do? And he just said that, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price? If we want to be successful in our lives, the question will always come down to the level of our yieldedness to the Lord. How yielded are you to God? So, this series is really an encouragement. It is our journey to yield to God's plan and purpose for our lives. And because we are confronted by so many complexities, Yielding to God is often easier said than what? Than done. It involves a deep level of trust, surrender, and obedience, even when life's realities seem to contradict God's purposes for our lives. So Abraham's life paints a complex portrait of faith and humanity. Abraham is remembered as a righteous man, committed wholeheartedly to God, a person of peace, compassion, hospitality, and great courage. He settled disputes, interceded for the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and demonstrates remarkable hospitality to strangers. Yet he is not without his human weaknesses. He lies to protect himself, passing off his wife Sarah as his sister to avoid danger, allowing her to be taken into the Egyptian pharaoh's harem. So there's a duality that happens in his life. There's a deep spiritual strength, but there's also common human frailty. He was not a flawless hero, but a man who was able to yield to God's purposes over time. Yielding for all of us to God does not come naturally. It's a process of growth, development, and trust building. So because we are all subject to seasons, everything starts in seed form, grows, and reaches maturity over time. So Abraham just did not appear and was this father of many nations. It started with the small steps that he had to take in his life. So he was called that at an advanced age, 75 years of old, the Lord said, I'm calling you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. It is very interesting as we will read Genesis chapter 11 that when we talk about yieldedness, there was no conditions that Abraham put on God. God said, come and I'll show you to a land that I will show you. And he had to learn to trust God all the way. He didn't say, I'm going to take you to Quinana, because you know where the destination is. He had to navigate. He had to build trust in hearing the voice of the Lord. This is what we need to do if we're going to navigate our lives so that we can live the life that the Lord has purposed for us to live. So we have to develop a new set of skills if we're going to hear and we're going to follow through with the Lord's path. We've got to listen to God's voice, trust in God's timing, and then we have to believe the promises of God. Because even despite his old age, 75, his wife was also advanced in age. They were past that childbearing. And so now they had to get over their own human limitations so they could grasp a hold of what God had for them. If we are going to be the same, we have to let go of our own limitations so we can grasp the things that God has for us. Amen? So you might feel too old, too inexperienced, or weak to see God's promises fulfilled in your life. So one of the key lessons from Abraham's life is the need to trust God in the process. We have to trust his voice and follow his lead, even though the path is very unclear for us. So I wonder, are there areas where you too feel inadequate? You feel too old, too limited by your circumstances? Are you struggling to trust God because his timing doesn't seem to match your timing? So I recall always thinking that, you know, maybe one day I'd be a pastor, preach, do all that. And there are times, you see, where, Lord, I want to do it now. But unfortunately, it takes a very long time. And so what happens, you see, is that when things don't happen in the timing, in our timing, we get frustrated. We then think, get stuffed. This ain't happening, so I'm going to do my own thing. And it's very easy for us to veer off the path that God has for us. The challenge, will we trust that timing? Because his timing is not our timing. This is why you find that if you read the scriptures, it says at the appointed time, which means that God has his time, we've got our time, but God has his time. What we need to be able to do is to be ready to respond when it's what? God's time. So like Abraham, we are called to leave our comfort zones and trust in the process that God has set for us. So this series is going to take us through the highs and lows of Abraham's life, offering insights on how we can live a fully yielded life to God. So as we begin this journey, I want you, as I speak and I say things, to just reflect upon your own life and say, are there parts of Abraham's life that I can relate to? And just as God fulfilled his promises to Abraham, he will do the same for you as you yield our lives to his perfect plan. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 9 says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp before the oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by the Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, he traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord. Then Abram continued traveling south by stages. Everybody say, by stages. Toward the Negev. Oh, yes. Well done. You know, I like that because I did say that. Well done. At that time, a severe famine struck the land of Canaan. Verse 1 to 9. Sorry. Yes. Say again, by stages. So when God does things to you, he's going to do it by stages. Not at once. By stages. So what we can gather from this story, there's some very key things that we need to understand, is that there were some temporary things that Abram did, and there were some permanent things that he did. The temporary things was that he lived in a tent. That was temporary. Because then, like for those people who go camping, you're not going to leave your tent up all the time. When you're leaving, you take your tent and you go to the next campsite. That was the temporary part. The permanent part was that he set up an altar. Those are things that have to be permanent in our lives. That altar to the Lord have to be those permanent things in our lives. Prayer, which symbolizes prayer, fasting, constantly putting our lives to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Whatever it is you want to do, Lord, I'm trusting in your process. That has to be permanent in your life. Temporary things, permanent things. When you start off in Genesis chapter 12, we've just come through Genesis 10. Well, the sequence goes that's when the Lord destroyed the earth through Noah. And the first thing that Noah did when he came out of the ark was that he built an altar. This tells us that there are certain things in our lives that have to be permanent, that have to exist. You cannot run a family without an altar. You cannot run a business without an altar. You cannot do anything without having an altar in your lives. Even if you go as an employee, you need an altar in your life. That has to be the one permanent thing that happens. Everything else can fade, but that remains. You have to have an altar in your life. So it's very interesting how God appeared to Abram. We are not told how he appeared to him. He just appeared. In Genesis chapter 11, he first appeared to Abram's father. They were staying in Ur of the Chaldeans, and then they moved, and then they camped at, where did they camp? They camped at Haran. And then it's from there that Abram got the call from the Lord. Salvation comes because God calls in grace, and we respond by faith. Abraham was called out of idolatry because it says in Joshua 24 verse 2 that they were in the earth of the Chaldeans, and what they did is that they worshipped the moon god Nana. And so this is where the family was being brought slowly. It started off with the father, brought out of Ur of the Chaldeans as they were making their way through. And so God brings them out of that place. Abraham did not know God and had done nothing to deserve knowing him. It's very vague on how the Lord appeared to him. There are three reasons why God called and why God calls us. In his love, he's concerned about our salvation. And so he reveals his glory and shares his gracious promises that I will make of you a great land, that through you all the people of the earth will be blessed. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who cursed you. The second thing is that God's purpose in blessing the whole world, that through Abram, the Lord Savior, our Savior Jesus Christ, came into the world, ultimately came into the world, and that became the blessing. And through that, this is where we have the blessing of the Lord. And the third thing is that our lives are supposed to be examples of his life, of Abraham's life, is an example for us how we have to walk by faith. So in hearing God's call, there has to be a willingness to step into the unknown. Are you willing to step into the unknown? Now, if we contrast that with Jonah, the Ninevite, when he received the call of God to go to the city of Nineveh, guess what he did? Whoop, he went the other way. So I don't know, sometimes because of timing, because of seasons and times, that God has called us to go in one direction, and then we start to take things, put things into our own hands, and we go the other way. Abram had to trust God's promises despite the uncertainty. Jonah allowed the fear and prejudice to stop him from obeying. You have to overcome the fear, because what can happen is that we will wait and wait for perfect conditions. The Lord has put things on your heart to do, but you say, oh no, I'll do it tomorrow, and I'll do it tomorrow, and I'll do it tomorrow. And guess what happens? Tomorrow never comes. And then I become like that 74-year-old lady that wants to have a family. And people would look around and, you know, they'll give, you know, I know us as Christians, what we will do is that we'll say, oh, that's very nice. But deep down in our hearts, we'd be saying, this person is delusional. That's what we'll be really saying. That, come on, at that age, you've missed the boat, lady. We have to overcome fear in our lives. The fear of failure will keep us trapped, and we will not be able to push through and go into whatever it is that the Lord is calling you to do. So my journey started, you know, as a youth leader in Adelaide. And then from there, I moved to Wollongong, and I was a youth leader there in Wollongong. Then I moved to Alice Springs. I was a youth leader there. Because, you know, there was that thing where I'm trying to make the purposes of God come to life. And then eventually, I had all these plans. This year, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And then on our way back from Darwin, so I left Darwin having spoken to somebody about, yeah, this is what I'm sensing the Lord doing. Boom, boom, boom. By that, and Darwin to Alice Springs is 1,500 kilometers. By the time we reached Alice Springs, I said, I quit. I'm not doing that anymore. And I really did quit. Because I was trying my level best to get things go. And look, all I'm saying is that whilst we are waiting, the key thing we have to do is that we have to do something. You have to serve up until whatever it is that God is calling you to do actually happens. Because you realize that everybody who was called by God was called in motion. They were never called when they were stationary. It was always when there was movement. If you realize that here in Genesis chapter 11, it says, it says, this is the account of Terah's family, and then he describes who they were. One day, Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law, and his grandson, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. So here we are, Ur of the Chaldeans, and then they moved, headed towards Canaan, and they stopped in Haran. Terah lived there for 205 years and died while still they were in Haran. But after Haran, this is where the Lord called Abram for. So you can see that they were separating themselves from the idolatry that they were used to. So it is in motion when people are called. You're not just going to be sitting and then you get the call. So that means that whilst you're waiting, get to do something. Get involved in what the Lord is doing up until the clarity comes for whatever God wants to do with your life. In motion. The disciples were called in motion. They were doing something. Moses, when he got the call to go and be this and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, it was in what? In motion. He was going around doing the normal things he did every day. Then it said he noticed the bush burning. He had seen many bushes burning. But he said, there's something about this one. It's not burning up like I'm used to. And then, bang, the Lord got his attention. So it's always going to be in motion. So whilst you're waiting, overcome your fears. And the uncertainty, and keep moving towards the Lord. So are there areas where you are resisting God's call due to fear or uncertainty? I don't know whether I should quit my job and start a business. Now, I'm not suggesting you quit your job and without doing your homework. That would be foolish. We're not talking about that kind of weird stuff. We're talking that if you're sensing the Lord saying, I want you to step in this direction, you do the preparation that is required. Just like if you're going to be married, you're not just going to say, hi, so-and-so, let's get married. Well, you can say that, but we would call that what? Weird. There's something wrong with you. So the issue, yeah, the issue is that do the work to prepare yourself for that. Because you could be marrying a what? A psycho. Hey, you got to be careful. My point is this. Let's do the necessary preparation. Let's do the necessary preparation. Let us not be those that on the whims of our emotions quit our jobs because we want to start something And then all of a sudden, when things go left, we start complaining to the Lord. The reason I say that is because that's what I did. So I'm warning you, don't do that. You know. So are there areas where you are resisting God's call due to fear or uncertainty? And I'll get the team to come back up. So we need to yield to his voice. Trust in the Lord's direction and step out in faith. We have to allow God to lead us in the unknown, knowing that his plans are greater than my fears. His journey was long, but his obedience led to God's blessing. On the other hand, if you look at Jonah, he went the other way. And I think most of our lives symbolize Jonah's life, where we will go the other way, and then eventually the Lord would bring us back to obedience. But you know, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like Jonah. We just want to say yes, and we start taking the steps. We need to be guided. Ultimately, the one person that was yielded completely to God and to his will was the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting the Father's plan in everything he did, even when it led him to the cross. He struggled as well. He said, Lord, if this is possible, let this cup go, pass from me. Get somebody else to do it. But then he said, however, your will be done. That shows you how he felt about going to the cross. He wasn't a macho man that says, bring it on. He faced and he said, man, I'm going to go through some stuff. But you know what, Lord? If it's your will for me to pass through and go through this, then I'm going to be willing to do it. As we will see as we go on in this series, you'll see that because we're all subject to seasons and times, and we are old, we look at our current situation and we think, wow, can this happen that I'll be the father of many nations? And so they took actions into their own hands. And his wife gladly gave her handmaiden to the husband. You know, he obviously didn't say no. And so you know what that led to? Conflict. And him saying, but I thought you said I could, you know, whatever. But the issue is this. Even if it's going to cost us a lot, are we going to be willing to pay the price? So that whatever God wants to do in our lives would actually happen. If you're a young person in here and the temptation of life would tell you what the world says to you, that, hey, you can do whatever, you can sleep with whoever. Now, not just young, let me say single. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. And that is the encouragement that is being spewed out each and every day. The question is that, are you going to say, Lord, that's not your will for my life? And that's a painful thing when all your friends are doing whatever they want to do. There has to be a determination in our hearts to say, despite how long it's actually going to take me, Lord, I am going to trust in you. Daniel, when they were offered the food of the king, had to then say, they determined in their hearts to say, we will not defile ourselves with the food of the king. We have to be those that say, Lord, I am not going to choose the second best in my life, even though it is expedient for me to do so. So let's stand up and I'll pray. What I want to pray for this morning is for alignment. Like Jesus, who constantly sought God's guidance through prayer, we need prayer to align our hearts with God's will. Prayer is the primary tool to yield our fears and doubts to God, as it opens us to trust Him, His leading, even when we don't understand the full picture. The temporary things are the tents. The permanent things is the altar, the place where we constantly are bringing and saying, and as it says, that we are a living sacrifice constantly, because when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, it then says, then we will know what the will of the Lord is. You are not going to understand that up until you present your body as a living sacrifice. Then the will of God will guide you to know, and you understand what the will of God is for your life. Father, I just thank you this morning that we would be those that would be aligned to you. That, Father, we would not abandon your word. We will not abandon the place of prayer. We will not abandon the altar. That is the permanent place in our lives. Everything else, Lord God, is temporary. Father, the blueprint that we have from Abram is that wherever he went, he built an altar. That in the moments and in the seasons of times, in the chronos of time, Lord, we would wait for the kairos, the moment, the opportune time, the appointed time of the Lord. Lord, help us to overcome our fear and uncertainty as we wait, Lord God, in chronos for the kairos moments of God. And so, Father, I pray, Lord God, that we would look to you, we would look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. And Father, I thank you that we would be those that would take the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would say, Lord, if this pass can cup over me, but your will, not my will. That we would substitute our will for your will. Teach us each and every day to be yielded to you. And so, Father, bless your people this morning as we leave this place. Let there be alignment in our lives and in our hearts, that you, just as you gave the promises to Abraham, you have promises in our lives. Let us be those, Lord God, that would wait in chronos for the kairos moments, that there would always be opportune times to hear your appointed times. Let us, once your appointed time comes, give us a spirit of wisdom and discernment to step out in faith and obedience. We pray in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. We're going to sing song number 4 with a lot of gusto, and then we are going to finish.